Our daughter and son-in-law, Candace and Brett, have a dog named Reagan. And Reagan is something else. And we call her the little crazy. But last summer, they let the dog out in the evening for kind of the night. And it got into a skunk. And it got sprayed, and it was like, oh, this is terrible. And they had pictures on, you know, Facebook of Brett's out in the garage washing the dog. Well, just a couple days later, Candace calls me and says, Daddy, we're not going to be home tonight, but Reagan's home. Would you mind letting Reagan out before you go to bed, you know, for the night? And I said, hey, I'll do it, but if she gets into another skunk, she's your baby, all right? And so I went over there, and I went, and I let Reagan out the door, and wouldn't you know it, right there was a skunk, and Reagan's like, rah, 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 and I said, Reagan, you get back in here. Whew. And she turned around, she came in, laid on her back, like, rub my belly, you know? Disaster averted. And the skunk didn't get her, and she didn't get the skunk, and it was a blessing that she was willing to obey me. Well, as we continue in our study through the book of Hebrews, last week we looked at the beginning of chapter 11, and we studied several features of faith. And so today we're looking at a specific expression here of genuine faith. And at the conclusion of chapter 10 and verse 39, we are not like one. We're not of those who shrink back. If in fact we're not the shrinking back type, all right. But we're like those of chapter 11 in the hall of faith. And here you receive instruction on true faith and a host of examples of individuals that had true faith. And if they had true faith, so can you. And so today we're looking at chapter 11, verses 8 through 19, and the example of Abraham's faith expressed through his obedience. And here's our take-home thought this morning, and that is, faith in God responds with faithful obedience. Faith in God responds with faithful obedience. The song we just sang kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? Trust, that's faith, and obey. Trust and obey. Faith in God responds with faithful obedience. Obedience is an expression of one's faith, your faith in God. We ought to obey God, much like Reagan obeyed me, right? You know, ready, without hesitation. Yes, I'll do what you ask me to do. Whew. Instead of pew. A genuine faith is ready and willing to obey God. The Christian with a genuine faith doesn't weigh his or her options when it comes to God's directives. A genuine faith doesn't merely take God's commands into consideration. Genuine faith doesn't ignore God's guidelines. A genuine faith doesn't have a take 'em or leave 'em attitude toward God's instructions. If you're going to be the kind of believer who doesn't shrink back, but believes and is saved and exercises a genuine faith, you will be obedient to God. There will be an evidence of your faith because you are willing to obey. Now, I want to take a few moments to clarify a few matters. You hear me preach often regarding obedience, that you must obey God in order to bring glory to God, to live to please Him. We talk about changing and growing according to Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, where we put off the old self, which is characterized by living by our feelings, be made new in the attitude of our minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off living by our feelings, put on living by the principles of God and His Word. I've mentioned that it's not a let go and let God proposition. It's a matter of take hold with God. I want to clarify that the only way that you can do what you do for the Lord is by his power. I think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, where it says that you are to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You are to do that because, or for, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All right? You do it, but it's God who works in you that enables you to do it. You do the doing, but it's only by the power of God through his Holy Spirit working in you that you can do what he desires you to do. So in light of that, you must be filled with the Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 commands to be filled with the Spirit. So what you do is you ask God, you search your heart and you repent of sins in your life. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, I pray that you then would fill me with your Spirit this day, this moment. And then you trust that he enables you. And to the extent then that you are walking in obedience to his word, to that extent, you're filled with the Spirit. Then, as you think about this, faith is the key that unlocks the power of the Spirit who enables obedience. Faith is the key that unlocks the power of the Spirit who enables obedience. Chapter 11, verse 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. In other words, when you ask for God's help to walk in obedience, you believe that he is in fact helping you, that he is enabling you while you obey him because of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have to wonder, or you don't have to wait for some kind of a feeling for it to come upon you. You walk in obedience. We're going to learn about that today. So the argument of Hebrews comes down to a question of belief, of faith. And the writer goes on to explain what it means to have true faith. He lists he gives a list of Old Testament examples with this kind of faith with whom the Jewish readers were familiar, of whom many faced trials and even death, and they did not shrink back. It goes back to the appeal, the argument. Don't go back. Don't shrink back from that which is true in Jesus Christ as you place your faith and trust in him. Faith, much like the faith of these Old Testament examples, these Old Testament individuals. That's the kind of faith that we all need, a faith in God. These individuals didn't have a faith in their own idea, their own concepts, their own abilities. That would be a faith in faith. We talked about that last week. I just have to work up this really strong feeling about what I believe God's going to do. Well, that's faith in faith. Because he said, remember, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. How is that possible? Because it's not the faith and the faith that you have. It's not working up some kind of faith. It's the object of your faith. In whom do you place your faith? And our faith is in God. So today we're going to look at some characteristics of this faithful obedience. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, here's our next example. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Here's the first characteristic of this faithful obedience. And that is faith obeys in the present because of the promise of a future goal. Faith obeys in the present because of a promise of a future goal. God said, back in Genesis chapter 11, where Abraham lived in the Ur of the Chaldees, where the Tigris and Euphrates River run into the Persian Gulf. And God said unto Abraham, go unto a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will make your name great. So Abraham packed his bags, and he came up around the Fertile Crescent, stopped off in Haran for a little while, then he came down into the Promised Land. By faith, verse 8 there, Abraham obeyed. The tense here, from what I understand, is that he obeyed while he was being called. And immediate obedience. I was so thankful that Reagan obeyed immediately when I said, "Reagan, you get in here." That's the kind of faith that Abraham had right there. While he had his faith, he was packing his bags. He was on his way. And that's the kind of faith we need to teach our kids. All right? You have kids? We would tell our kids, you obey and you be happy about it. Obey right away and be happy about it. So come on, it's time to eat. Okay, just a minute, I want to finish my game. Or it's time to brush your teeth, it's time to go to bed, it's time to pick up your toys. Okay, give me just a minute, one more minute. I'm getting up and I'm ready to obey at mom and dad's beck and call. All right, that's the way kids need to learn, because that's what God expects of us. And I used to tell our kids, if you're obeying mom and dad, you're obeying God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's not a wait and see. It's not a consider the options. It's a readiness and willingness to obey. That's what we have here in Abraham. Immediate obedience. So by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's faith. Literally, this statement says, he didn't know and he was not concerned. Could you imagine that? It didn't trouble his mind. It was like, okay, if God says it, I'm gone. My bags are packed. We're on our way. Let's go. That's the ready obedience that Abraham had, as recorded in this text. And he literally did not know regarding the nature of the country where he was going. He just packed his bags and he was on his way. You know, you think about exercising your faith in times of uncertainty. Think about how Abraham's faith can translate or help you in your faith when you're facing uncertainties. How do we do that? Look at verse 1 once again. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Just a little window into my Easter message, Resurrection Sunday. We're going to talk about hope, the hope of the resurrection, all right? We look forward to that day. It hasn't happened to us yet, right? It happened to Jesus. His resurrection gives you hope. I'm starting to preach my Easter message. But faith, that's what faith is. It's the hope of things that we do not see. Or the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things we do not see. You know, sometimes we get bogged down in the paralysis of analysis. I'm going to use giving as an illustration here. Mom and Dad taught me as a kid, give a tithe. You earn a dime, you give a penny. You earn a dollar, you give 10 cents. You earn $100, you give $10. That was a tithe. And then they taught, you know, then you give an offering. Right? That's a helpful guide for me. And so I've carried that throughout my life. And tithe and offerings, it's just not a question. We just plan to live off of, and we've increased our tithe, and we just give and don't think about it. Because you know what, and I'm going to bring this up a little bit later, but if you start thinking about it, you think, whoa, man, just look at all of the toys I could have if I didn't tithe. You know, if I didn't give to the church, didn't give to the Lord faithfully through the church, man, we could have a lot of things and do a lot more things than we do. No, it's I'm gonna out of a grateful heart, I'm gonna be obedient to God in the area of my giving. It's not an option. It's not a question. I don't have to wrestle or think it through. And that's just an example here. Another example might be church attendance. You know, just, are we going to church this morning? That's just never a question. You know, it's like, yes, we're going. It's everybody's up and going. It's Sunday morning. We're going to go to church, right? And so that's an example, again, of how you don't even consider it. It's not an option. It's an obedience to God. We talked about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves a couple weeks ago. Biblical decision making. Whatever it is, and those are just examples there. But whatever it is, you're going to go to the scripture. Sometimes we have to study it out. And if it's what God says, I'm going to do it. Right? And we walk in obedience to God in his word. We just simply obey. We see that he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. By faith, Abraham was convinced that he was an heir. He had believed God, that's his faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was a child of God. And he was convinced that he was an heir. If you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you are an heir. You are a child of God. No question. And so what we do is, in light of being an heir, we live in obedience. We start living like an heir, right? That we're going to receive an inheritance. Abraham, he obeyed because he was convinced that he was an heir. By faith, Abraham obeyed, even though his living conditions were less than ideal. Look at verse 9. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He lived in a land of which he was not a citizen, as did Isaac and Jacob. And I think they were mentioned here because this continued, this same kind of mindset continued with Isaac and Jacob. They lived in a land that was not their own yet, and they were looking ahead to the promised land that they had not received. They were in tents, which is all a picture of, you know what? The land of Israel, yes, it's real, but it's all a picture of the reality of heaven. Right? He lived like a stranger in a foreign country. I think that said something even about where we are in our country. You know, the fact is, you know, we live in the United States of America, and we praise God for how God has worked. But you know what? We're seeing some things. It appears as though some things are crumbling. We're praying, that the nation would be awakened to the truths of God and his word and come back to the Lord. That's an appropriate prayer. But I think as God is allowing some of this to crumble so that believers, you and I, don't fix our things on that which is present, but fix our minds on eternity, because our citizenship is in heaven. Abraham could do this because of a future goal. Look at verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations. Not a tent, not a tent city, but a city that had foundations whose designer and builder is God. The city with foundations, permanent, eternity, not tents. As the one song says, this world's not my home, I'm just a passing through, right? We need to be looking to eternity, because that's where the true city of God is, whose designer and architect, the builder, is God. That's what Abraham did. He looked forward not to just establishing residency in the land of Israel, that promised land. Ultimately, it was, how do we know that? Because it never became the country while he lived. It never had the borders. It never had the cities that he had looked ahead to, because he was looking ahead to a greater city in heaven. And you can do the same. This is not all there is. This is not all there is. If you think it is, no wonder you're pursuing eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. Because if this is all there is, then go for the gusto, man. And that's why you see a lot of what's going on around us, right? People are living for the moment because they don't believe in a city whose builder and architect is God. But as a believer, you do. You see that. This is not all there is. Paul, speaking in the context of extreme difficulties. Remember, we looked at 2 Corinthians last year in chapter 4. And in the context of speaking of extreme difficulties, Paul said this in chapter 4 and verse 16. Verses 16 through 18, if you're taking notes. He says, in light of all of these trials and all of these difficulties and all of these uncertainties, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. In whatever situation you find yourself, don't lose heart. By faith, you look to that which is eternal. Faith obeys in the present because of the promise of a future goal. Here's another expression of faithful obedience. Verse 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashore. Here's an expression of faithful obedience. Faith obeys if there are physical limitations because of the promise of a faithful God. Faith obeys if there are physical limitations because of the promise of God. Even though he was past the age of childbearing, Abraham was enabled to become a parent. And the text is really speaking of Sarah here at this point, being past age. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 11, it says, now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. And she was previously unbelieving. In chapter 18 and verse 12, Sarah laughed. You know, she overheard the angel of the Lord talking to Abraham, and she was going to have a baby. And she's like, yeah, right. She at that point, she did not believe. And the angel responded in chapter 18. Again, if you're taking notes, you can look it up, verses 14 and 15. The angel responded this way, is anything too hard for God? Think about that in light of whatever it is you're facing, have faced, will face. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. And evidently, at that point or some point subsequent to that, Sarah surrendered in belief, even though she was 90 years old. Could you imagine? You know? He received strength to conceive. Hebrews 11:11. Look at verse 11. How did she receive strength to conceive? Because she considered him faithful who had promised. Her faith was in God. So from Abraham, who was as good as dead, All right. He was considered past the age with the ability to have children, 100 years old, physically limited. Really? I can't possibly do this. Really? From him came a great nation. Many make excuses that they can't obey God. I can't do that because I'm just the way I am. That's just the way I am. You can't expect anything different from me. I calls them as I sees them, right? So I can't change. You're just going to have to accept that. So we make excuses for disobeying God. Or because of the extremeness of the difficulty that we're facing. It's just too hard. I can't do it. Or even certain limitations or syndromes or a psychological label. Let's stick with biblical labels. I have a disorder, so I can't do that because I have a disorder. Or you don't understand how badly I was hurt. See, those are excuses for not obeying God. I can't do it. And yet God says there is never an excuse for sin. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, there's no temptation that has come upon you, but such as is common to man. Other people have faced it. They have faced it successfully, and so can you. How? Because God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tested beyond what you can bear, but will with that test provide a way of escape that you can bear up under the pressure of the trial, the difficulty that you face. He's going to provide the help that you need in your time of need. And the reason you can do that is because of faith and the faithfulness of God. He takes away all of your excuses, especially when you understand that your obedience is based upon the enablement that he has promised. He says you can do what he requires you to do, and he gives you the power and the ability to do it. So he knows you can do it, and that's where faith comes in. This is tough. This is difficult. I just don't know how I can do it. Oh, God, help me. Right? It may seem limited, but genuine faith doesn't make excuses to obey, but rather obeys in spite of apparent limitations. And we all have them, right? We are all broken people. We all have our issues. How do I know that? Because we're all sinners. And Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the payment for sin is death. But, the greatest exception in all of Scripture, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And you have the Spirit of God in you as a result of your faith and belief. And that's where faith comes in. You take the steps to obey, even if it's difficult, even if it is impossible, for nothing is impossible with God. And we trust him for that enablement. So when it comes to serving, say, man, I can't do it. Now again, I understand you have to understand your giftedness and your ability, and so on, and as well as your priorities and all. I'm not saying that every time Pastor Doug or Pastor Nate, I wouldn't do this to you, but those guys might come up, I'm just kidding, and ask you to do something. Right? You can consider it. But I'm not saying every time you're asked to do something in the church, you have to do it. But you're considering that in light of biblical truths and principles as to serving. Are you serving somewhere, somehow? Because that's what God desires of you. There may be opportunities to witness. I can't do that. I just can't do that. Well, Does God want you to go and make disciples? He does. So you may have to think through as to how to do that and how you are best gifted in order to accomplish that. You must be kind. Ah, but that person is just makes it so difficult. You need to be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, man, but you just don't understand how much I've been hurt. You're to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Yeah, but you don't understand who I married. Now, wait a minute. It's a matter of obedience. Wives, yes, you're to love your husbands and you are to reverence him. You're to submit to his authority. Yeah, but have you met my husband? I don't know. Children, obey your parents. Have you met my parents? They're unreasonable. You see, there may be these seemingly difficult situations and maybe seemingly impossible situations, but faith says, you know what? I'm going to do what God asks me to do. I can't. God says, control your tongue. God says, harness your anger. Yeah, but you know, that's, I grew up with that. You get the picture. There's never an excuse for continuing in sin. And just saying these things, just touching on these, says, hopefully it causes you, and I probably maybe didn't mention one that you're struggling with, but just the very mention of a few of these ought to say, you know what? I need to grow in this area, whatever area that may be. And I got to quit making excuses because God strengthens me and enables me. And by faith, I'm going to walk in obedience to what he asks me to do, no matter how difficult it is or no matter what kind of limitations I think I might be facing. Because faith obeys if there are physical limitations, if there are any kind of limitations, faith obeys because of the promise of a faithful God. Here's another expression, verses 17 and 18. Of an obedient faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Here's the expression, and that is, faith obeys if there are personal sacrifices because of the promise of a fantastic gain. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 15. We want to look at this. We're going to look at Genesis 15 and then Genesis 22. In Genesis chapter 15, a little bit of a background. All right? Genesis 15, verses 2 through 6. Abraham was called Abram, and then God changed his name to Abraham. But Abram said, O Lord God, Genesis 15, 2, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Faith. We're not talking about an obedience that works up or conjures up a faith. It starts with faith. Trust and obey. It was How did Abraham receive this imputed righteousness? Because of faith. Now we fast forward to chapter 22, Genesis 22. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 19. Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Now remember, you are going to have a son, and you are going to be a great nation, innumerable number of people. So after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Your only son, Isaac, the son of promise, whom you love. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. And he was like, I don't know if I really want to do this. I'm going to have to pray about it a little longer. God, give me a few more days. Right? Is that what he did? No. He rose early that next morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. I believe that's a faith statement, right? I and the boy, we're going to go and worship and we will come back to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on his son Isaac, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, verse 8, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. It's always interesting to me that Isaac didn't put up a fight. You know, he's probably at least 14 at this time. I don't know. And his dad was over 100 years old. Probably could have taken him. I don't know. At least ran faster than he did. But he allowed his father to bind him and laid him on top, on the altar, on top of the wood, verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham, ready, willing, obediently offering his son, his only son, as a sacrifice. Who does that make you think of? Right? Yeah, that's right. It ought to cause us to think of the ultimate sacrifice through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, the Father, sacrificed his son to provide a way. The Lord provides. And we have this example of faith. Abraham was looking ahead to that day, and he believed that his son literally could be raised from the dead. And it says there that in fact, he passed the test. Abraham passed the test through the obedience of personal sacrifice. And he he was figuratively raised from the dead. We often think of sacrifices of, let's say, missionaries or full-time Christian servants. And rightly so. I mean, you know, you think of the likes of John and Pam Donnelly. You know, they have their three kids, and they're living on a ship, in a cabin on a ship, a tiny house, so to speak. You know, I mean, three kids on a ship, that's sacrifice, right? Just think about that. We think of the likes of the Rudolphs. You know, we're so excited about supporting the Rudolphs. And, you know, they're going to the Ukraine, and they've been preparing. And they during that snow and the cold, they were walking their kids to church. They walked from their house to the library so that they could just get used to that. They're making sacrifices. They're going to be going to Ukraine where they can't just come home anytime they want, right? They have a responsibility there. They won't have the family. They're leaving family. They're leaving friends. We think of those sacrifices and we're like, man, you think of the Lewises, you think of all of our missionaries and the sacrifices they make. And it's like, wow, what examples we have there. But on Sunday mornings, you know, I come over here early and I call it my pajama service, and I pray and work through the message and get it into my heart and make sure we're good to go, and try to get here before anybody else does. And I go home and I get cleaned up and ready for the day. But it always blesses me. I mean, almost every Sunday, I open up the blind on the window over here and I look out and I see car after car after car of people coming in early to prepare their hearts to lead you and me in worship. The sacrifice, so many are willing to not sleep in, to give up of their time, to be willing to sacrifice in order to serve. And it's many behind the scenes that you and I don't even see, they're there so that we continue in our ministry. Sacrifice. Abraham passed the test through the obedience of personal sacrifices. Think of many, they have their full-time jobs, and yet they add to that the ministry that we have here. Or just living life, committed to the Lord, as opposed to all the hobbies that could, you know, you think about the fact that you didn't have to be here today. You didn't have to get up, and you didn't have to watch online. There are a lot of other things you could have done. But you chose to gather with God's people to worship. How did Abraham even consider this? How could he do this? Verse 19, he considered that God was able even to raise him, his son, from the dead, from which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and in fact, he could. And in this situation, he did. How did Abraham do this? How can you do this? What's our take-home thought? By faith in God that responds in faithful obedience. And we see in closing that it's achieved through verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. They achieved it through earthly perseverance. They endured all that they went through. Perseverance. Abraham and all the others in chapter 11 did this right up until death, even though they had not received all that had been promised in this life. Last week, in talking about the message, Teresa pointed out to me that Abel in verse 4 spoke to her heart. That through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And we have that example there in Abel, and in Noah, and now Abraham. Though they have died, they still speak. How do they do it? How can you do it? Well, one of our graduations ceremonies at Cedarville, Warren Wiersbe spoke, and he said, just simply, how do you do it? One day at a time. You get up and you live today by faith. You live today by faith. And then you get up tomorrow and then you say, God help me. I'm going to live today by faith. And those days turn into weeks and weeks into months and months into years. Verse 13. These all died, not receiving the things promised, but saw them from afar. Living by faith is a lifelong endeavor. Living by faith is a lifelong endeavor. They lived by faith, meaning they were dominated by faith. Can that be said of you? Is your life dominated by faith? Are you a man or woman or child of faith? Another way this is achieved is with an eternal perspective. We've been touching on this, verse 10, for he, Abraham, was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Verse 14, for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Abraham and all of these others could do all of this because they were looking ahead to something that was better, something that was unseen. Abraham looked ahead. You know, many of us, we look back to the good old days. Oh, if it was just the way it was in the good old days. Now, this is something that, let me bring it really up to today. Man, I just can't wait till it goes back to pre-COVID. Right? We just got to get rid of these masks and we got to be able to start shaking hands. And we can't really do ministry the way we want to do ministry until we go back to the way it was. You know what? I don't know if it will. Right? But does that limit God? Can we not figure out how to do what God has commanded us to do in the present and in the days ahead, trusting Him to do what we can't? Right? And I think a lot of this is to show us that, you know what? It's not about us. It's all about Him. And we have to place our faith and trust in Him. And we need to be faithful in a difficult and trying time, because there's something far greater than the here and now. That's faith. Living by faith must look beyond this life, or you will be disappointed, because there is more. There is more. And many live as though life here is all there is. Work, work, work. Play, play, play. Toys, toys, toys. Me, me, me. And, you know, it's all about what we have here. And that's not all there is. We need to trust and obey. We learned a song with our kids. It's a great children's song. It's called Obedience. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Heavenly Father, help us. Thank you that it's not us in our own strength that does the doing, but it's only we doing the doing by faith. It starts with our faith in you, our great God, that provides that strength, that provides that ability. And so we cry out to you, asking you to help us to put into practice these truths of which we have spoken here today, that we would be faithful to our faithful God. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, how that looks, it may be different for all of us. There's some common denominators, right? We all need to be faithful in controlling our passions. But your passion may be different than my passion. But we need to be faithful in our giving and our fellowship with one another and exercising the one another passages. There's common elements there. But we all need to obey. And I just encourage you to contemplate in your heart an area in your life where you can identify and say, you know what, I need to start walking in obedience in this area. Quit making excuses and start learning how I can walk in obedience to what I know God wants me to do. If we can be a help to you, we want to be a help to you. I encourage everyone to ask everyone to fill out a connection card through our entrance. By our entrance here, we have a physical card you can fill out. You can do that on YouVersion. You can do that on our website. We can be praying for you. We want to be praying for you. We want to be praying for one another. If it's personal, private, check for pastors only. And we'll be praying for you, and we want to help you if we are able, and if you'll allow us. You can place that connection card in the offering receptacle. And I just encourage you to continue to give faithfully. Just what a blessing to see the ministry able to continue through your faithful giving because of that. But ask God for help. Get connected with one another. Encourage one another. That's why we're here, to be a blessing to one another. Father, may we be faithful to obey you and to your glory, to walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand once more and sing with us.